Welcome to another great edition of Local Matters. I'm George Hallford, your host. We have a great program this morning, but first, or today, whatever the time may be, this is a different kind of program. There's a program where you come on and talk about projects and committees and volunteers or what's going on. This is a program about the individual, about people. People who make a difference, and not only just make a difference, contribute to the fabric of our region. I am so pleased today to have a really good friend. He couldn't believe we've been knowing each other that long. I don't know whether that's a good thing or bad thing, Michael, but Michael Porton, retired in some ways, local CEO of a regional CEO of Regions Bank, but he's not retired. He's involved in adjunct professor, it still is, at Tennessee Tech in the mm-hmm. College of Business, Habitat for Humanity. I remember Main Street. So this guy is a community caring leader. So, Michael, welcome.
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Okay. I got a tough job today. I got to be quiet.
Quieter. Okay.
You know me. I love to talk. So what we're going to do is it's like all major religions. I remember Billy Graham years ago. There's three great questions in life. Who am I, where did I come from, and where am I going? So we'll follow that format. I'd like for you to start at age birth.
Okay.
And just carry me up through growing up and friends and what you did and didn't like to do. And don't spend a lot of time in high school. And just come on up to today. So I'm gonna let you start.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, George. I was born and raised in Florida on the East Coast.
Okay.
New Smyrna Beach, Florida, which is just south of Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
We live 5 minutes from the ocean, so I hung out on the ocean as much as possible.
Yeah.
The only day I've ever skipped in school was the last day of sixth grade, and a friend of mine and I carried a 12-foot surfboard down
Ooh.
To the ocean, and that was our first day of surfing. So
still
did
remember?
That. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your first
great.
Day. Hung out on the ocean quite a bit. Always been, around water and really enjoyed water growing up in Florida. My dad was a general contractor and an architect. So when I was 6 years old, he started taking me to the jobs and I started to
Woo.
Help him, which yeah. As I got older, I quickly realized being a general contractor is really kind of a tough job.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to keep your subs pleased and you have to keep the owner pleased.
That's right.
So,
you're in between.
Yeah, exactly. So I pretty much decided that probably wasn't the route I wanted to do, but had a really good childhood in New Smyrna Beach and then college, went to UCF in Orlando and actually started in pre-med.
Yeah,
but I had a full scholarship in music, so
I didn't know that.
What? So I ran that out as long as possible, which you can do for about 2 years before they make you commit. And then I got into my third year of pre-med, and we're talking one day, and I wanted to do research. And we were talking one day, and it turns out that probably should have known this sooner. But unless you had a 4.0 average or you knew a senator as a friend, it was hard to get into some of the best schools.
Wow.
Medical schools. And I didn't have either. I had like a 3.6, and we didn't know any senators to pull any strings. So anyway, I kind of relooked at it and said, maybe this isn't what I want to do. So I then decided I thought I'd go into hospital administration, which requires an MBA. So I stayed on and got my MBA. HCA flew me up to Nashville. I met their representative a long time ago. I met their representative in the airport. And he said, I'll give you a job, but you probably won't have it in 3 to 5 years. And I said, okay, tell me more. And he said, well, there's consolidation coming on. And those type of jobs will be consolidated. So I went back to Florida. And fortunately, I tell my students at Tech, I don't think there's a 10-year-old in the world that wakes up and says, I want to be a banker. That's not exactly first on your list. But I went back to Florida. A friend of mine across the street, he had gotten into banking about a year ago. And he said, you need to come on in and, you know, check this out. You know, it's pretty cool. So anyway, with my MBA and whatnot. And,
sure.
Liking people a lot, if you will, because that's what banking's about. I started in a training program in Orlando and went right into commercial banking, which I was the first one to ever do that. And
wow.
Then
okay.
Usually they start you out in consumer loans and then you kind of go to business. But they put me right into the larger loan department, if you will. So I learned quite a bit there. And through consolidation, mergers and whatnot, I ended up back on the East Coast with a bank and eventually ended up with SunTrust Bank.
So, yep, yep.
And they were creating this new division of SunTrust called Business Banking. And at the time, I was next in line to run the commercial banking for this region down here.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came around to tell me that, hey, we're creating this business banking, explain to me what it was, I said, wow, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. And I said, I might want to do that. And they kind of looked at me like, why?
Why?
Exactly. Why take the risk? You've already got your...
You got it, yeah.
Yeah, your path is pretty much set here. But I found, and one tip, again, I give my students is always look for that opportunity to raise your hand and said, I'll do that.
Exactly.
Because then you get
volunteer.
Noticed.
Yep.
And I had done that several times. But this time they said, okay. So I got to hire 25, 30 people, and we created our own department and ran that for 2 years. At the time, SunTrust was basically 32 banks doing things 32 different ways.
Yeah.
But there was somebody in Atlanta at the headquarters. His name is Mike as well. And he was keeping track of who was doing the best job. So 2 years into it, after we've created our business banking department, he basically emailed me and said, I need to come down and see you. So I ended up on the SunTrust 100 list, which was 100 people that needed to move somewhere.
We're just getting started, folks. George Hoffer with Michael Porton. Michael, I've already learned a lot. When we come back right now, did you ever know Lillian Hartgrove during that time? So, who came up here from SunTrust when you were at Regions?
I met Lillian at Habitat for Humanity, but she was more on the operations side at the call center.
I got it, yes.
And I was in Nashville with SunTrust. And we had heard they were building a call center in Cookeville, but I really didn't know much about Cookeville.
The connection came here.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then once we met and I found out who she was.
That's great.
Yeah, and then one thing led to another, and they restructured. I was on my way back. I was on my way to Atlanta to be more on the credit side, and I accepted that job, didn't want to live in Atlanta. But anyway, ended up taking a job with Union Planters in Cookeville on my way to Knoxville, and then really loved Cookeville. So found a reason to stay here in Regions, acquire and whatnot. So we've been here 24 years now. And
that's just, who we met. I've been here 20, so
yeah,
I've been knowing you
20.
Yeah.
It's just hard to move.
No, love this place.
It's really nice. But we just love it. One of the things I was concerned about coming up here was giving up the water because, again, born and raised.
Oh, yeah. We don't have an ocean.
Yeah, we don't. But and my dad had two large sailboats, and we used to sail around the islands all the time. And and I used to scuba dive a lot, so we would.
Life was pretty good.
Yeah, life was great. Well, life's always been great.
It's great here.
Yeah, it's always been great. But anyway, I'll never forget when they were flying me up here for one of my visits. We were flying over one of the lakes, Center Hill or Dale Hollow, and I looked down and go, "Wow, that's a lot of water."
Yeah,
and I didn't realize there were these beautiful lakes.
I think we're like top 5 or 6 in the country inland waterways.
Yeah, okay.
So Tennessee is a huge water
state. Yeah, and I like the lake so much better than either the ocean or the river down in Florida because all the obvious reasons, but there's no sharks. There's salt. It's just so much safer and whatnot. So so we got to end up getting a boat here, and so we do a lot of boating as well. But, yeah, we just love it in this area. It's beautiful.
I'm going to do you a big favor right now.
What's that?
Are you married, and how many kids do you have? I know we're way down the road. Tell me how you met your wife. You've been married for years. You have 2 daughters, I believe. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Been married for like 32 years now.
Okay,
and
that's great.
Got 2 daughters. One is down in Tallahassee. She started with Costco out in Seattle in the graphic design area, and they kind of move you around, so she's doing very well with them. And then our youngest daughter, she is an architect. And she lives in East Nashville. She got licensed about a year and a half ago.
That is great.
And then she married an Argentinian who's also an architect. And
that's
he works
great.
At a larger firm downtown Nashville. But we're really proud of Alexis. About 3 or 4 months ago, she went out on her own. So she has her own firm.
That's great.
And they got married last April. So she'd obviously already changed her name, but when she sent me the logo for her new business, it's Porton Architect and Design, honoring my dad, who was an architect.
Oh, that's great.
Who
that's great.
Unfortunately passed away about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he never realized what she ended up doing and to name it after. And they just thought it sounded cool. So I said, okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So we still have that out there, but, yeah, we're just, love the family, love doing things together, and a lot of it does revolve around. A lot of it does revolve around boating and whatnot, but we're always getting together, especially our daughter in East Nashville. She's obviously a lot closer.
And again, you live on the lake. I've been.
Yes, we do.
Live down there, and
we bought a house on the lake about 12 years ago. Fixed it up, sold our house in Cookeville, and just love it. Just love it.
You know, we've got a few seconds left in this segment, but when we come back, teachable moments. You said several things as you, in your role as a professor, taking risk, volunteering, moving around. The average person will change jobs X number of times. I think it was 4 or 5 when I was growing up. But let's come back to that part, and then we'll go to today.
Okay, sure.
But We're going to come back. I'm George. I almost said of Michael Porton. I'm George Chaffer with Michael Porton, and this is Local Matters. Back soon. Welcome back, George Chaffer, here with a good friend that I have already learned a lot about, Michael Porton, good friend. And in the first segment, we your role as adjunct professor. You've been doing that for a long time.
Yes.
And so I would talk about lessons learned, because you said several things that are so important for our listening audience, especially our young people.
Yeah, sure. I play racquetball. I have played racquetball for a long time. I was able to play over at Tech, and one time Bob Niebuhr, who was the dean of the College of Business, many years ago, he and I were sitting on the bench, and I said, Bob, what does an adjunct professor do? He said, well, you have to have your MBA. And okay, I've got that. And we talked some more about it. And Bob was like, okay, do you want to do it? And I go, based on what I know, I guess.
Let's go.
He said that he had they had a class at Tech, Commercial Banking 1, in the fall. And the professor who taught that had just left, had moved away. So they had an opening. So I said, okay, is there training? He said, no, I'll just give you the book. You'll figure it out. So I said, okay. So there's still a couple of my students who have gone into banking who still live in Cookeville. And anytime I see them, I apologize for my first class because I didn't know what I was doing. But I really think that probably worked out better because I didn't necessarily teach from the book. I taught from experience.
From real world.
Yeah, from the real world. So I've taught the class there in the fall for I think I taught that 10, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And then I created another class in the spring and also created the Banking Advisory Board, which is where the students actually go out.
That is great.
And sit as a advisory board member. And I thought, when would students ever get a chance to do that? So that's worked out really well. And now I'm working on another class as well, which will roll out next spring. And I'm also teaching at the Graduate School of Banking in Memphis, which will be at the end of next month.
That is wonderful.
So doing that as well. But I didn't know anything about it. Bob got me into it, and one thing led to another, and after a couple of years, I got pretty comfortable. But going back to some of the – I call them – when I'm with my students, I always give them a tip of the day is what I tell them.
Yes.
You know, for just what it's worth. Some of them are – when you're looking for that first job, don't be concerned about the money. It will come.
That's right. That's
Don't chase the money because you'll drive yourself crazy. You do a good job, you make the company that you're working for, you make them money, and you're going to make more money.
Yeah.
But don't work to make money. work so you can enjoy your life passion with the money that you made.
That's right.
Exactly. And another thing I tell them as well is once they've probably been out in the real world 3 to 5 years, volunteer for something.
That's right.
And there is such a need because there's so many non-for-profits. They have the passion there, but they don't necessarily have the business sense in the background. So I've been involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I was a big for a while in Florida. I ended up being the president there. Habitat for Humanity on my third term. Stevens Center up in Livingston did that. Bryan Symphony Orchestra. Yep. The chamber and
you've
so
been
on.
A past chair of the chamber and have been on the
exactly.
You've been on the board exec committee almost every year since I came here 20
twice,
years ago
too on the chamber board. They asked me to come back.
Yeah,
but I guess if I have any passion for any of them, I guess it'd probably be Habitat. I just think
wonderful.
That is such a win-win. And when you work for a bank, you're always kind of coached at first. Make sure that you work for a non-for-profit that nobody can criticize.
That's
so
right.
When you find
what
one like Habitat,
program.
it's a win-win. I got involved with the board here, was president, rolled off, got back on, was president, was the interim director here last year, and I'm back on the board again.
Wow. George Halford with Michael Porton, learning more every second about my good friend. This is great. So much. You could do a whole afternoon on this subject about most jobs I've gotten. It wasn't the interview. It was I'm somewhere with somebody, and you know how you're always out there, and what you're talking about is right on. Just get out there and look, and it's great.
That's one of my other tips is you're always networking.
You're always.
No matter what you're doing, you're always networking, and once you get a job, you're always representing that bank or, that company. So if you're in line at Kroger on a Sunday afternoon, you are still representing that bank or that company. Yeah.
You never really know who you're talking to.
Exactly.
Am I right? Looking back,
it's
incredible.
That.
I do too.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. So now I'm the executive in residence at Tech, which basically I'm the conduit between the college world and the real world.
That's perfect for you, Mike.
I help students learn about banking. I help students get opportunities in banking. I don't get them jobs, but I get them an opportunity. But I have just so many times, it's just really cool to be talking to somebody and be able to connect the dots and say, oh, I know somebody that does this, who does that. And then you just kind of connect the dots and you see what happens. So I really enjoy doing that as well.
Oh, we all have stories and it's about you, not about me. But when you were telling that, I look back and growing up and it was just being there. Just what was it? Woody Allen said 90% of life is just showing up.
Exactly.
And do the best job you can everywhere you are.
Showing up, listening, and then make some mental notes on what's going on in somebody's life. Well, I guess my biggest passion, you would say, is just helping people.
Yes.
I just love to help people however I can, if it's from my experience, if it's from my networking, whatever. But I really just enjoy to help people. And I tell my students, again, another tip is, get that job where you work the 40, 50 hours a week, and that's great. But if you want to get the warm and fuzzies, you need to work for a non-for-profit.
No question.
And you need to put yourself out there and help
people. Meaning
meaningful.
And purpose. And
yeah, exactly.
Passion.
Yeah. And that's the fun part of life.
Oh, yeah. As you get older, you appreciate it more.
Exactly. You want to give back,
No question.
Yeah.
You want to make a difference.
Yeah, your knowledge and whatnot, so.
Buddy, I tell you what, you are really, and you're still as active. You're probably more active as you ever were, just doing things you want to do all the time.
Yeah, I was blessed and fortunate, but we got to a point where when you don't have to work anymore, and I'm thinking back,
it's
when
time.
You're 30, 35, and you can't wait to retire, and then you get to retirement, and you go, okay, wait a minute, So I fortunately, with my connection at Tech, and I've got a couple other things going on, and plus we just love to travel, so we do a lot of traveling. We spend about a month a year over in Europe, and we've really hit that hard and done a lot exploring over there, and we'll be going to Argentina in December. Our son-in-law is from Argentina, so we're going down and hang out there for 2 or 3 weeks with his family and whatnot.
Man,
I just think traveling is just how you probably can learn the most from any experience.
Well, that's one place you learn.
But
what when you said that a while ago, my experiences have been multifaceted that way. The classroom was fine, but and you said something else. Comment on this, please. I'm a workaholic in the sense that I'm very fortunate. I had something I loved with people I loved. I loved what I did, and it was just a joy for the most part. A job's still a job. Mm-hmm. But I always had older friends say, you'll know. You'll know the day will come, and it happened to me. It wasn't anything that happened. It just it was finally time. Talk of how you approached. You said it a while ago, but you woke up and said, you know, it's probably time to move on. It's nothing. Is that pretty
well? Like anybody, you need to keep track of your personal finances and make sure it's viable.
Assuming you have to
retire. And once you get that kind of behind you, you still wait a bit longer just to make sure, because it really would be hard to go back to work once you leave. I always tell people who are either younger or older than I am, have a plan. Don't just retire. Have a plan. Have something you've already decided that you want to do.
We'll come back. I got so excited I wasn't watching my clock. George Hallford with Michael Porton, back soon. We're back. George Hallford with Michael Porton, really talking about his journey today, now, and talking about retirement. And I said it, it's easy to underestimate retirement. And for those out there who are retired or about to retire or whenever, let's continue the conversation we had a while ago about you and retiring and how you approached it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think retirement, you have to go through the process. Once you leave a career that you've been in for quite a while, you kind of lose your sense of relevance, perhaps.
No question.
You lose your sense of purpose. You lose a lot of positive aspects of it. Of course, you also lose the sales meetings and the deadlines and whatnot.
That's right.
But you really have to be prepared to retire. And I think
a lot
of people are not prepared. And they think, oh, I'll just go play golf or I'll just do this or that. And they may be good for a month or two. But at some point, if you were really involved and you like to be challenged and you like to learn new things, you're going to want to get back to do something. And to think of the retirees, the wealth of information that we have and experience that we owe the younger generations, we owe them to share that with them and kind of help them and make sure that they realize that everything's okay and that that we've all experienced at different stages what they've experienced. But just to give back, but again, you've got to continue to have a purpose, in my opinion. I only know one person here in Cookeville, and we would all know him, but I'm not mentioning his name. He retired 5 or 6 years ago, and he hasn't done a thing, and he's just as happy as he can be.
Yes, it works for different
people. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you got to come up with your own plan, and that's why it has to be yours. It has to be your custom plan.
That's right.
How much do you want to do? How much don't you want to do? But at the same time, just make sure you're prepared. Just don't assume it's going to fall into place for you, because it's up to you to make your retirement what it is, and nobody else will.
As someone who has gone through this, I can relate, and this isn't about me, so I'm going to stick to you. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's a different ball game. It's wonderful in a lot of ways, but mm-hmm. meaning, purpose, identity. Mm-hmm. One quick thing is, I don't see people like I used to. My job every day, I'm out there, man, it was great, and now I have to work. You think I used to talk? When I can corner somebody now, where I'm out. So that is not – we're talking now assuming that financially mm-hmm. you can retire.
Which is huge.
Yes, it is. This is not about that. This is about how am I going to live the rest of my life.
Yeah, and how important it is to stay social. I read a lot of books about olders, and that's the term that one book came up with, not olders. Elderly, not old. We're olders.
That's all.
Yeah, and they wanted to kind of a neutral term that really didn't have any negative connotations. And I like that term, olders.
I do too.
Okay, I feel like I'm an older. That doesn't insult me. But, what are you going to do and how are you going to do it and how are you going to spend this time that you've worked for in a career and you've earned it, and now you need to enjoy it, you need to make sure that whatever you're doing don't stop.
That's it.
Just keep going and keep your yourself healthy and fit. You've got to, like I said, interact with society and people. That's extremely important. Keep that positive attitude, but you also need something to wake up for every morning and something that excites you and something to do.
I told you I want to go to talk, but I got a good friend, psychologist, minister Bob Ridley, who's made such a difference in my life right before I retired and retired. And he said, George, you've been blessed. God has blessed you. You've traveled. You've learned. You've got all this stuff. God's may not be through with you yet. The best chapter for a lot of us is another chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we in society have been taught, Western society, that you live, you know, it's the young, but no, it's a different world. And it's a lesson. It's not easy. I'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. It's not time to sit on the porch. It's time to get out there and do something new. I was reading an article the other day about how people starting companies in their mid-70s and whatnot.
Yes.
And how much more they enjoyed it because they did it for the passion.
They're not in it for the finance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you can have passion when you're working, career. But once you retire, you still have to find that. But they found companies and businesses and purposes that they still felt that they could have their passion. And by the way, they were making money, which wasn't important necessarily.
That's pretty good.
But at the same time, they just enjoyed it so much more. So
joy.
Yeah,
find
exactly.
Your bliss. Follow your bliss. It's the age-old things that hadn't changed. So
that's the final tip I give. Always give my students is have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun every day. Yeah. If you're not having fun in your job, go do something else.
Yeah.
Life is truly too short, and you're not going to be happy. The people around you aren't going to be happy. But make sure you're having fun in whatever you do. Make sure that you're enjoying it.
That's right. That's right. So. Well, we're talking now about, you know, now and where you're going. And what do you see, Michael, in the future?
Yeah, I'm working on a couple other ventures, if you will, and have been involved in one. It's on topic, but we are actually the distributors for a company out of Knoxville.
Okay.
And the company's called BioPet.
BioPet.
We are the distributors for Switzerland and Germany, and I actually have business cards. For BioPet. And BioPet's product is called PooPrints.
PooPrints. Okay.
Yes, and PooPrints is in every country. They have over 7,000 properties that they now help manage. But what it is, and also they have Canada, they're working into Mexico. When we were in Germany last year, I actually had a sales call with the mayor of this small German town who wants to go ahead and put it in place. What it is, it's for high density apartments and condos. And if you have a dog, when you sign the lease, there's an addendum saying that you will abide by the PooPrints rules. They swab your dog's mouth.
Okay.
They send it to Knoxville. It's put into their database. And if you don't clean up after your dog, they can send a sample to Knoxville and they can tell which dog it is.
Wow.
So it's really helping. People don't realize, but dog waste is a biohazard. It's not good.
More than.
And if you live in a high density area or if you're in a dog park or whatever, an apartment, and it's unpleasant for all the reasons above.
Oh, it's a health hazard.
It is a health hazard. It is. And then people that don't have dogs, of course, they're complaining. So this is a 99.9% proof, DNA-wise, that this is your dog. And apartments, they might give you the buy the first time. The second time, it could be a fine, more fine. Then they, you know, go ahead and say, I'm sorry, but you have to leave. So we are working on introducing that to Switzerland. Also actually hired a rep over there, and she worked for us for about 6 months. The problem I'm having is the Swiss are very proud, and they don't want to admit they have a problem right now. So, but they do. Yeah, because they have over 500,000 dogs. Yeah. So I know that. So.
We love our I'm a dog lover.
I am as well. Yeah.
Love big Gloria and I, and that bugs us how in a very nice neighborhood, otherwise knowledgeable people don't pick up their dog's poop, don't have little poop bags.
Yeah.
So still,
yeah.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. It bugs me.
Plus, I just love the name Poo Prints, but this company's doing extremely well. They've been around about 10 years now, and they're the number one in the world right now as far as what they do. And so we're trying to get that kind of launched and trying to get that kind of a foothold into Switzerland and then Germany.
I see.
Because I think once you do, I think it's one of those things that if this apartment has it or this condo has it, then the other will say, yeah, well, we need that because we don't want to.
As a dog lover, I would love something like that. And more we urbanize and we live closer together.
Exactly.
And the landlord would love that.
Yeah. And the landlord can actually make a little bit from it and not much.
But still.
But he's able to tell them, hey, look, we are aware of this issue and we are going to police it.
There you go.
And by the way, if you don't follow the rules, then you need to move someplace else. Because we want to keep our properties pristine and pretty, yet we still only have the dogs.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
That's something that we're working on. And I've got a couple other things. I've really gotten into bank simulations where the computer will simulate the operations of a bank. And that's what I lead at some of these graduate school of banking. I actually lead the bank simulation portion of it. And I'd like to maybe expand that a little bit as well. But what's cool about retirement is I can do what I want to do.
Yes, when you want to do it.
And when I want to do it, exactly. So I don't have to do anything, but, you know, these are things that I'm interested in, and these are things that I think—
Follow your passion. One can really follow their passion in retirement.
Exactly.
For the most part.
Exactly. And please do, because this society, community needs retired people.
Yes.
We are the past, if you will, and we will definitely help with the future.
That's right. You know, it's biblical, as most things are. Hear my Lord, send me. It's amazing when one is open and looking around the service, things you can do to serve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One can do to serve. And it's just been amazing. And it's and that's what it's all about at the end of the day, is helping others and serving others.
And everybody can serve and everybody can volunteer. You just have to find
your niche.
Yeah, exactly. And what can you help with? What are you good at? We've also got involved with another non-for-profit here. It's called Food to the Rescue, which is really interesting.
Ooh.
It's a group of women who got together, and when there are students, lower-income students in the school system, and when there's the spring break, the fall break, and the summer break, if they're relying on the school to provide them food—
There's no food.
There's no food.
For a lot of them.
Exactly. So this group, Food to the Rescue, we volunteer there, packing boxes and whatnot, but they put together a box of food for the family, and then they deliver it to the families. And what a great cause there is, you know, feeding people that might not have the food for that time. Yeah.
Well, buddy, you're not retired.
No.
You're just transition,
my friend. That's all.
George Alford with Michael Porton. Great, great, Mike. Thank you for coming.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.